Now, it's certainly a suggestion that's bound to attract attention. As His Holiness Pope Benedict visited the United Kingdom for the first time, the headlines suggested that as he set foot on their soil, he should be promptly charged and arrested for crimes against humanity. It's in relation, of course, to the sexual abuse scandal that has horrified and dogged the Catholic Church. Geoffrey Robertson QC was originally behind the idea in a somewhat different form, and it's detailed, very detailed, in his book, The Case of the Pope. He's in Australia for the Festival of Dangerous Ideas. And perhaps you also saw him last night on Q&A. And with me now, Geoffrey Robertson, hello.
Good morning, Genevieve.
Now, firstly, let's talk terms. How does the definition of a crime against humanity, well, as it's understood in international law, fit with an assortment of thousands of separate criminal acts by many separate individuals in many different countries? There is surely no possible common purpose or intention here.
Well, common purpose and intention isn't necessary. What we're dealing with is tens of thousands on the evidence. Rapes, because let's not mince words, it is a rape, children can't consent, rapes of children. And when you investigate the particular areas in Ireland, three judicial reports have said endemic in Catholic boys' institutions, widespread and systematic. And that happens to be the definition of a crime against humanity. And there is a principle, Japanese generals were convicted of it, of command responsibility. If you're the commander and on your watch, dreadful things happen. You may hate the idea that they happen, but if you have allowed them to happen, or if you have not prosecuted the persecutors, the people who did it when you could have prosecuted them, then under international law, you are liable. This is the test that we impose on heads of state. It is the test upon which Milosevic and Karadzic were brought to trial, and it is not a test that is limited to cases of war. At the moment, there are plans to prosecute some ministers in Kenya for electoral violence under the command responsibility theory. So that's the principle, and I've simply been pointing out that the child abuse scandal has reached such a widespread and systematic extent and has been caused in part by the Vatican moving paedophile priests from one country to another and covering up paedophilia in the church by a medieval process of canon law where bishops don't hand over their priests to the police to prosecute. They deal with them in private under canon law, which has no punishment. Punishment under canon law is to go and do penance, which usually involves saying prayers for the victims. So
Geoffrey Robertson,
for all those reasons, that is why I'm saying to the Catholic Church, mind how you go, change the system before someone does.
Geoffrey Robertson, before we move on, I do want to talk about the actual figures, about how many priests have been credibly accused and convicted of child sexual abuse.
Yep.
There has been some sensationalism. It's a horrible crime, but a number of people, Brendan O'Neill on Spike.com, our own Dr. Paul
Who's
Collins.
He? Who's he? Who
he's
are these
a journalist.
People, you know?
Dr.
Oh, is
Paul
he?
Collins
What's he
has
ever
made,
done for the world?
Dr. Paul Collins, who's a very noted Catholic commentator, has made the point that even august publications like The Independent have massively exaggerated some numbers of priests who've been charged with rape, that on allegations which have been investigated, 6% of those accused were eventually convicted of horrendous crimes. But this very real problem has grown hideous wings in the public imagination. Can
well,
you
do you want
give
me to
me,
go through the evidence? Do you want
I
me to
want
go through
to
the
give
evidence?
Me, I want you to give me, of the roughly 500,000 priests in the world,
yes.
I want you to give me the actual number of those who've been convicted of
well,
the rape.
Well, the Church itself accepts up to 5%. So if we say 400,000 priests in the world, 5% of that is 20,000. A paedophile priest throughout their life will molest dozens of children, up to there's one well-known case of 200 children. Cardinal Gröhn in Austria is said to have molested thousands of children in a 60-year life. So, you
and
know,
many
you're
of
dealing
those
with
accused have you, been tried and convicted in courts of law. That's
well,
a course of action that's
but,
open
Genevieve,
to residents of any
don't
nation.
Don't be dumb. These people aren't tried and convicted.
No, many of them have been tried and convicted. Those are the cases that we know about. I'm not suggesting that there are not
some
many more cases to come to court. Why?
But they're
then
not tried and convicted. They're dealt with under, in secret.
Many
under
of them
canon
have been
law.
Tried and convicted.
Some
many
of
have
them
been tried and convicted here
there,
in Australia, Geoffrey Robertson. That's a simple fact.
The simple fact is that a number of priests all over the world have been tried and convicted because police have got evidence other than from the church. The evidence that has been produced by the John Jay study in 2004, an eminent criminology college in America, was that 10,600 credible allegations against 4,300 priests. And in Ireland, the judicial commissions came in to say that the child abuse was endemic. Now, that means it happened all the time.
The church's authority, though, exists within the Holy See. The Holy See has no legal authority elsewhere. What other course was open to the church, particularly when the offenders were not always discovered by the church until years or even decades later?
Well, what was open to the church was to give its evidence to the police. And in 2001, a bishop was actually prosecuted in France for covering up on a paedophile priest. The priest had gone on and raped more children. And the Pope and the cardinals, Cardinal Ratzinger and others, formally congratulated this bishop for not handing over a father who didn't hand over his son to the police. And that letter of congratulations was sent to bishops all around the world, saying, in effect, to them, keep it if you can in the family, deal with it under canon law without punishment, but with only penance, and in some cases by sending the priest concerned off to pastures new in other countries or in other parishes with unsuspecting flocks.
Now, this is where you believe this current Pope has a particular personal responsibility. To be clear, you don't blame him for any actual abuse, but you do believe there's a particular personal responsibility.
All I'm saying is that the Vatican should comply with the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which every country has signed and every country except America has ratified, that requires the interests of children to be put first above the reputation of the church and the wealth of the church, and that the Vatican must adopt, I believe, what is called a zero-tolerance policy. One strike against a child and you're out, and a mandatory reporting policy, which means that you have to hand over evidence of child abuse to the police and not deal with it privately, and a protection for whistleblowers. We now know that Mary MacKillop was excommunicated because she blew the whistle on a paedophile priest who was then quietly trafficked to Ireland, where he, according to the Irish Times, committed paedophilia. And I've spoken of the Dapdo priest who was who had to go to the press before his allegations were picked up by the Woods Commission here. So they are the kind of changes that I am arguing for that the Pope should make, and I think he will. He's come a long way. I mean, in Easter he was passing this off as merely petty gossip. Well, it's not petty and it's not gossip. And last week in England, he apologised profusely for what he called the unspeakable crimes of my clergy. That's better. That's actually coming closer to the truth. And all we want is a process where those... And he admitted that the church had been negligent. So I'm not really, whatever columnists you quote, I'm not merely... I'm in a sense, in this way, pushing at an open door. The question is whether the church will come further and actually adopt the zero-tolerance policy that I think they should.
Well, Geoffrey Robertson, I feel that I'm appearing in the role of prosecutor here, so I'm trying to put you on the spot and make you provide your evidence, which you're doing very well. You've had no...
Read my book.
I have indeed.
No, I'm telling your hearers that if they want to see the evidence, you can't summarise evidence in 2 minutes.
Now, look, you've had, but on the suggestion
by the
that
case the, of the Pope,
on the suggestion that the Pope himself should bear responsibility for this, that there should be legal proceedings, you've had notable opposition. Interestingly, of course, from the extremely eminent American Jewish jurist Alan Dershowitz, just this week, he says that this would be an extremely dangerous precedent. It tears down the barriers between church and state, and it waters down the significance of enormous crimes like the Rwandan genocide. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is firstly that the rape of a child is an enormous crime. Thousands of raped children are an enormous crime, whether it's, and it's actually worse than if you're raped by a drunken soldier. You can actually recover. When you are raped at the age of 7 or 8 by a priest who you've been brought to up to believe is an agent of God, that is a form of soul murder, and people who are subject to this particular form of child abuse never recover from it. So I'm not, I wouldn't accept that argument. What was interesting was that Alan actually agreed with my other argument that the Vatican was not in law a state, so that the diplomatic immunity that the Pope and his cardinals have under the notion that of head of state immunity shouldn't really be appropriate. So to that extent, we're agreed. But we do differ. I think there's no reason why a crime against humanity can't be more serious in peacetime than in war. And this particular crime has effects that affect the victims throughout their life and destroy their faith, amongst other things.
Now, Catherine Pepinster, who is the editor of The Tablet, which is a Catholic journal in the UK, wrote in the UK Telegraph recently that this was nothing more than a publicity stunt designed to deliberately embarrass the Pope to garner maximum publicity while he was in the United Kingdom, that you were not at all serious about the possibility of having the Pope arrested. Is it a realistic option? Is this a very effective way of making your point?
I've never argued the Pope should be arrested. Never. What I've argued is that the Pope should be accountable. Kathleen, Ms. Pepinster goes on in that review to agree with me about the extent of child sexual abuse and agree with me that, well, at least to be more critical than I am of Pope Benedict, saying that the Church will never get free of the scandal until he goes and a more liberal Pope with a more better reform agenda comes in. And she suggests, and I endorse this suggestion, that the Vatican should open the files of the CDF, and which is their body that deals with priests, and allow an independent commission to examine it. So I've got nothing to do with any so-called publicity stunt. I wouldn't have...
It's been very effective publicity for the book, though, Geoffrey.
Writing a book is not... you don't write a book, believe me, for publicity. People don't understand sometimes quite how much writing a book takes out of you. It's not something that I am wedded to. I'm looking forward. I'm feeling a bit poked out at the moment. I'm looking forward. I want to write a book on Iran, which is the real problem for the world, and because I've conducted some investigations over that matter, so I want to move on and leave to liberal Catholics and to others the need to bring the Catholic Church into line, and the need to accept that the rape of children by priests is a human rights atrocity. And Amnesty finally last week accepted that.
Geoffrey Robertson, it's been a pleasure to cross swords and to argue with you. Thank you very much indeed for being there.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Geoffrey Robertson, QC, author of The Case for the Pope, and it's certainly a very detailed examination indeed.